The story of the Gerasene demoniac is a great story. It has all sorts of vivid imagery and some subtle inferences that the original listeners would have certainly caught, leaving them barely able to control the snickers of a knowing insider. Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes. They have just come off the lake after a long night fraught with raging seas. Jesus, awakened by the frightened disciples, has calmed the seas, amazed the disciples. And now they've made their way to shore only to encounter a raging man. This man is a town lunatic. He is possessed by demons. And not just a couple, but a legion. For those listening to this tale, the name Legion would not have been lost on them. Legion would have immediately brought to mind the Roman army, the Roman Legion, which they would have no problem equating with demonic. The Gerasene demoniac, with his legion of demons, has been the town terror. Everyone did their dead level best to stay out of his way. For starters, he was naked, and no one wanted to encounter that vision. He lived in the tombs. He was homeless, unclothed, unclean in every way. He probably didn't smell great either. Furthermore, this man was strong. That's often the case with those who are possessed. He had broken the chains that the townspeople had tried to use to contain him when he was having an episode. Having worked on a hospital psychiatric unit, I can assure you that there is nothing much scarier than seeing the man that had just been restrained to his bed, walking out of his room with the restraints dangling loose from his wrists and ankles. So mostly, the townspeople went far around the cemetery and hoped and prayed that they would never encounter this demoniac face to face. Jesus didn't have that option. When he stepped out of the boat, there was the man in his face, filled with demons, fully knowing who Jesus was. The interesting thing that is in the passage that falls just before the one we heard in the gospel today, the disciples, after having witnessed Jesus controlling the winds and raging sea, ask, "Who is this that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him?" In the presence of the power of God working through Jesus to calm both wind and sea, the disciples still don't know who he is. But the minute he steps out of the boat, the demons that have taken possession of this man's body immediately know who he is and beg him to leave them alone. But Jesus will have none of that. He sends the demons into a herd of pigs. Again, a point not lost on the original hearers. Pigs? Of course pigs! Unclean! A good Jew like Jesus would have no problem getting rid of a herd of pigs. And that's exactly what he did. The pigs ran in down the hillside into the lake and were drowned. What a sight! A pig stampede. A mass pig drowning. The Jewish audience must have been laughing with delight at the imagining of this scene. The swineherds, on the other hand, didn't see it this way. They stood by and watched as their livelihood sank under the water. Certainly, they were furious. They had learned how to cope with this demon-possessed man. He had been part of their community for as long as they could remember. Everything had been going along as it always had. They stayed away from the cemetery, took care of the herd of swine, got up, went to bed. life was fairly orderly and for the most part comfortable, until this Jesus came along and turned everything around. The herdsman ran to the village and told everyone what he had done. He had killed their pigs. He had destroyed their financial base. Fearing what he might do next, the good townspeople asked him to leave. "Go away," they said. "Get out of here, for you do something even more destructive. Before you uproot our lives even more." The demoniac, now freed from his torment, wants to go with Jesus when he leaves. But Jesus tells him to stay and to declare how much God has done for him. You know, it seems that when people encounter Jesus, they have one of two possible reactions. Either the reaction is, "Go away. I don't want you to interrupt my life. I like my demons just as they are. I've found a way to deal with them myself. Life is comfortable, and I do not want you coming in and disrupting the life I have made for myself." Or the reaction is, "Come in. Come into my house and dine with me. Come into my life and disrupt it. Make it whole. Uproot it. Disturb it. Because I know somewhere in the depths of my heart that whatever changes you will make will be the changes that need to be made. Show me the way life is meant to be. Drive out the demons that consume me. Be they demons of consumerism, demons of hatred, demons of prejudice, demons of complacency. Whatever they are, drive them away from me so that I can go out and declare how much God has done for me." We come here today, we encounter Jesus in Scripture and in the breaking and sharing of bread in the Eucharist. And as we encounter Jesus again, we're faced again with the choice of our response to this encounter. Do we, like the demons and the swineherds and the townspeople and so many others, want Jesus just to go away, to leave us alone? Do we want to continue in our own self-driven, self-determined way of living, or do we want to invite him in? Inviting Jesus in is risky business. When we really let Jesus involve himself in our lives, we cannot remain unchanged. We cannot continue to walk through life with blinders on. When Jesus gets involved, crazy things happen. When Jesus gets involved, the demons must go. Pigs run off cliffs. And people who were tormented are free. What is your response to this encounter with Jesus?